God used David, a shepherd boy, to take down Goliath with a rock. God didn't remove the lions for Daniel, but he closed the mouths of the lions. God didn't remove the Red Sea, but he parted it. God may not remove our problems, but he will make a way for us to get through them. Many stories of God's faithfulness. If he made a way back then, he surely will make a way for us now. Please rise as you're able and join us in our sermon song, Do It Again.
Thank you. This morning's sermon scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on that earth?" This is God's holy word.
"Mom, can I get a puppy?" "No. I don't think this exists anymore, but Mom, can we go to the mall and look at the puppies in the window?" "Okay. Can we get the puppy?" "No. Mom, can we hold the puppy?" "Sure. Can we have it?" "No. Mom, look in the eyes of the puppy. Now can we get it?" "Okay." True story from my childhood. And now I see it being played, my children against me. "Dad, can we go to the store?" "Okay. Can we get a toy?" "No. Can we at least go look in the aisle with the toys?" "Okay. Can we get one?" "No." "Dad, can we hold it? How about you hold it? You look at it. Look how cool it is." "It is kind of cool. Can we get it?" "Okay." Persistence. Persistence is a quality we saw in this parable. And we may ask the Lord, "Lord, how do you want me to be? What characteristics do you want me to have?" And as we look in that context of Luke 18 and the chapters before it, we see that Jesus is teaching us many different ways to walk. He teaches about forgiveness. "Lord, how many times should I forgive someone?" He teaches about thankfulness with the 10 lepers, and only one came back to say thank you. He teaches about walking in hopefulness, so our whole life will be one looking forward to a good future with the Lord, and then living until then with thankful hearts and forgiving hearts. And then we get to Luke 18, and we have this strange parable about prayer, and it seems persistent prayer, walking in prayerfulness. So Jesus gives this teaching to his disciples. That's who he's speaking to. You are disciples, right? At St. John's Christian Church, you are disciples. So he's speaking to you, and he's telling a parable, and the parable is just a special story that reveals truth and at the same time hides truth. So those who are seeking and wanting, understanding will be given, and those who are not seeking and don't care, they will miss out. It reveals truth and it hides truth. And a lot of parables, we're kind of left on our own to figure out. We're not given an explanation of what it all means. This parable's nice because it starts off with, this parable is given for the purpose so that you would pray always and not lose heart. So Jesus, ahead of time, before he goes to the cross, before he ascends away into heaven, knows how easy it will be to lose heart later on. How easy it will be to be discouraged in prayer. And I know this from personal experience. I've been praying for a long time. Many of you have been praying a lot longer than I have, for decades more than I have. And you know those prayers where it was just like, yes, God answered, and it was great, and there was a lot of excitement, and then there's those prayers where it's like, ugh, not so yes. Or those fun church council meetings where some of the prayers were yes, and some of the prayers not so yes. You remember those times. I remember the time when you're first on fire for the Lord, and you're first coming to know Jesus, and it seems like all the prayers are being answered, run after another, right and left. And as time stretches, those answers seem quieter, or there is no answer. God is answering, yes, no, not yet, something better later. But in those moments, we begin to mature as disciples and learn that aspect of prayer. And I love the instant answers, and I love to share stories of those instant answers. And sometimes those answered prayers may seem long in the moment, but when we have the chance then to look back, we say, well, that was only a month. A month is just a short blip in my life. But then there's those things that we've been praying for many months and years and decades. And that's when it begins to get discouraging and we lose heart. This parable is spoken by Jesus, designed by Jesus for his disciples so that you would continue to pray always and not lose heart. So if you understand the parable, as we all seek with all parables, if we seek to understand it, I hope you, at the other end of it, you come out more eager and more happy and more excited to pray than before. But we know in reality prayer is hard work. We call it a Christian discipline. And I personally, out of all the Christian disciplines there are, I feel like prayer is the weakest one for me. But this isn't a parable how to pray louder or pray more or just keep repeating ourselves so that God may eventually just hear us. That's not what it's about. So before we get into this parable, just to remind you of who your number one prayer partner is, and that's Jesus Christ. Hebrews 7 tells us Jesus is praying for us right now. He's interceding for us right now. In fact, it says he lives to pray. That is his life, is to pray for you. And I hope you feel like you need that. I need that. But it's not just Jesus. Romans 8 says the Holy Spirit's also praying with us, that he helps us in our weakness, because we don't always know how we ought to pray. It's declaring, yes, we are all weak in our prayer lives, but he's right there praying with you, interceding for you, groaning with you, crying with you, rejoicing with you, making sense of your prayers. So when you're in prayer, it's not just you alone by yourself. The whole Trinity, the whole Godhead is right there with you. Out of all the concerns and all the horrible things going on in the world that God should be, we think God should be spending his time with, he's there with you in that moment in prayer. He's there so that we can nag him, as the parable suggests. This parable is a negative story, a negative story that works. There's not very many good qualities in this parable, but it still ends up working out in the end. It's a negative story, not one that we are to replicate or repeat in any way. We don't have the negative story. We have the positive one that works even better. So if the negative way works, how much better does the positive way work? If Jesus is my prayer partner, and the Holy Spirit is that prayer power, and the heavenly throne is open to my prayers, how much better is that than the persistent nagging that we see in the parable? So we have our characters. We have the judge who is unjust. He has no love and respect for God, meaning no moral compass, no right and wrong. And then we have no love for people. And what can you do with someone like that when you have an unfair parking ticket or accused for a crime you didn't commit? What are you going to do with an unjust judge? And then you have the widow, who has many things going against her. She's a woman in a culture where she doesn't count. She's a widow. She's alone, doesn't have anyone to speak up for her. And because she's a widow, she's probably also poor. It seems like she wouldn't stand a chance against him. But she has to go before Mr. Unjust, who has no respect for God and no respect for men. How do you think he's going to feel about women? But she's persistent. And in her cleverness, she uses that persistence to her advantage. This is phone calls in the middle of the night. This is sending out 300 text messages during the course of the day. This is making a scene at the Walmart checkout line. She does not stop. And the judge is reluctant to help. In fact, he does not want to help, but she is annoying him. He is tired of her. Perhaps by calling him out, he also is afraid of a ruined reputation. Maybe he cares a little bit what people think about him. It says he's weary. He's wearied of her. The original language in Greek, it's actually a boxing term. Like, it actually is literally give a black eye. Like, this lady is giving the judge a black eye, beating him down until he gives her what she wants. So if we stop there with the lesson would be, I'm going to shout, I'm going to scream, I'm going to annoy, and I'm going to nag God until I get what I want. I'm going to storm the gates of heaven and punch God in the face, give him a black eye until he gives me what I want. But remember, this is a negative story. We're not to replicate it or repeat it. We have the positive story. So here we go. If the widow can verbally punch a judge until he gives in, how much more can you, as a child of God, approach the Heavenly Father? I don't have to punch him. I don't have to weary God. I don't have to beg God, because he is Abba, Father. And he chose you, and he loves you. You don't have to prove anything to him. You don't have to convince God of anything, because he loves you. So much different than what we see in the parable. But because we're impatient and we're human, we still cry out day and night asking for the same things again and again. And sometimes there just are not answers. Some prayers just simply need to be answered no. But he's still my Father, and he still loves me. And I'm still human, and I still have selfish desires. And not to make light of true things on your heart, but back when I was a child, and perhaps even now, left alone, I would probably eat ice cream every day for lunch. I don't know what's best for me. Always do what's best for me. But the Father does know. By the way, Jesus prayed 3 times in the garden, Lord, take this cup from me. Take this suffering, this cross from me. And the answer is no. Paul, 3 times, Lord, take this thorn from my flesh, this thing he's struggling with. 3 times, Lord, take it away. No, I'll give you more grace to deal with it. But the answer to this prayer request is no. So the question is God being mean? No, I don't think he is being mean. It's his will, it's his plan, and he's working it out for good. So we don't have to twist the Father's arm as the widow twists the judge's arm. God's not the judge in the story. That's just a negative story that we're not supposed to replicate. That's not God. He's not the judge. He's my Father who loves me. Of course, if we've been wronged, God will avenge us. Of course, if we've fallen sick or ill, God will heal us. Of course, if something's been wrong, he will make it right in his timing, whether that be in this life or at the end. God says, vengeance is mine. I will take care of it. I will fix it, not you. In the meantime, don't lose hope. Keep praying. So this part of Luke and the chapters preceding it, we are told to walk in forgiveness, walk in thankfulness, walk in hope, walk in prayer, especially when it's hopeless, especially when it's dark, especially as this earth comes closer to coming to a close, especially when things get harder and harder, especially when things are quiet and silent. Jesus says, in those moments, will I find faith? Will I still find people who are forgiving each other? Will I still find people who are thankful? Will I still find people who are hopeful? Will I still find people who are praying? Put all together, will I still find people who have faith? He says, will I find that when I come again? And we may say, well, that last day is far and distant, but God is still trying to make his way here and work his kingdom here now in the present. Will I find faith in Archbold? We know he'll find it in Pettysville, but will he find it in Archbold? Will he find it at St. John's Christian Church? And when you come face to face with Jesus, whether on the last day or at your death, will he find faith in you? And those are Jesus' words, not mine. At the same time, he's telling you, he's encouraging you, keep praying, don't lose heart. Keep talking to me, Jesus is saying. Jesus will come again and make all things right. And he's fulfilled every promise up till now. And that's the one promise we still have to look forward to, that he will come again. So we trust he will. He will come again, and all wrongs will be right. All prayers will be answered on that day, if not sooner. But it takes patience. It takes faith. It takes faith to believe that the Heavenly Father on his throne wants to hear from me. It takes faith to believe that the Son, Jesus Christ, who has been exalted in the heavens, is spending his life praying for me. And it takes faith to believe that the Holy Spirit, God, has chosen to dwell here to cry with me, to pray with me, to groan with me, to rejoice with me. How great we have it. God's not the judge in this story. God's not the judge. He's the Father. And we're not the widow in this story. We are the children of God. So with that in mind, pray always. Don't lose heart. Let's pray. Lord, how wonderful it is that you have revealed your heart to us, that you are indeed a loving Father who chooses to dwell with us, who chooses to be involved in our lives, who chooses to live in us and pray with us and walk with us. Lord, help us to see these truths and walk with these truths, even when it's not evident, especially when it's not evident. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, instill this kind of faith in us, this trust in us. Lord, we thank you for who you are and what you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
And at this time, I'll invite the ushers forward to collect our offering. Gracious Heavenly Father, we bring these offerings to you. We ask your blessing upon them that they may be used to your glory. In your name we pray. Amen.
We have a lot of good words to think on and reflect on this week, but I challenge you this week to be persistent in prayer, be persistent in sharing God's faithfulness, also reflecting on God's greatness to us. Our closing hymn is Great Are You, Lord. Following the spoken benediction, we will sing the chorus of How Great Is Our God.
Keep you. The Lord will keep your life. He'll keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Go in peace. Amen.